tonight I'm just going to kind of continue in our message. I'm going to continue on along the same lines. I'm going to review what I talked about last week. And last week we talked about praying out the will of God. We talked about how to find the will of God, how to know His will, how to receive His leading and walk with Him as He leads us. And I talked about, I think there were five things. Yeah. Well, there's actually six, but you know, I think I gave five things about praying out the will of God. And I just want to go over those again, maybe use some other scriptures and then tell some more stories and maybe we'll see what else happens. But I want to look over in John chapter 16 and verse 13. And in the book of John, in these chapters along here, during the Last Supper, Jesus has given some final impartation to his followers that he's gathered there, to the 12. And he's talking to them about some weighty matters, some things that he wants to make sure that they know and that they live in after he's gone. And so he said in verse 13, I'm reading in the Amplified tonight, but when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Now, y'all, this is a big deal right here. I know I've probably read this verse in this church dozens of times, but I just want to reiterate to you tonight, this is a really big deal that the Holy Spirit himself, part of his job description as given by Jesus, is that the Holy Spirit will announce and declare to us things that are to come. That's part of his role in our lives. And I think if you don't know that's his role and you don't have any expectation for it, you miss so much of what he has for you and what he wants to do in your life and through you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to prepare you for what is to come. He wants to give you the heads up. And he wants you to, even if he doesn't tell you every little part. I've had plenty of times in my life where things happen and I didn't know that exact thing was going to happen. But yet on the other hand, it was not a surprise at all because the Holy Spirit had prepared me for it. He had lined things up. I'm starting to say that, story after story is coming to me. One of them is not my story, it's my brother Eddie's. My brother Eddie was involved in a national organization, and he was an officer in a national organization of furniture dealers, and he was on the board of this organization and had been and was very active in it. And one day the Lord just dealt with him, and he knew it was God, he knew it was the Holy Spirit, dealt with him and said, I want you to resign from this board. I don't want you to serve on it anymore. I don't want you to be, you can still be in the organization, but you're not going to devote your time to it, not going to be involved in it. And really, when the Lord dealt with him about it, he didn't like it because he really enjoyed this. He enjoyed the work of it. He enjoyed the camaraderie. He enjoyed probably the notoriety. He enjoyed all of it, everything about it. He really liked it, was really into it, really loved it. And the Lord spoke to him and told him, I want you to resign. And so reluctantly, he kind of wrestled with it a little bit, and reluctantly he obeyed. And they asked him, why are you doing this? And he said, I really don't have an answer for you. You know, I guess he wasn't going to tell him. Well, the Holy Spirit told me, because, you know, these are people he works with in the business world. And so he just told him, I don't really know. Well, how many weeks later was it, Eddie?
7 weeks
later, after the Holy Spirit dealt with him to do that, my father, who was the head of our family business, my father had a massive cerebral hemorrhage, a stroke that really put him in a coma for 9 weeks and just pretty much, well, it did just sort of knocked him out of living, and he no longer had anything to do with the business in any way. So suddenly Eddie went from, you know, having this much responsibility to having like this much responsibility, and he had no way of knowing that. But the Holy Spirit was preparing him for what was to come. So when that came, it was so many things in his life had gotten in order so that he would be able to do what he needed to do at that time and in that hour. And so the Holy Spirit, he will, even though you don't always understand what he's saying to you, you know, if you will trust him, he actually knows what he's doing, and he will help you to be in the right place at the right time, position. He'll have you prepared. You'll be, you know, things will go good. Things will go well for you. And I might add, you know, he will help you with financial things. He will put you in a good position financially. He will help you with, you know, he might tell you sometimes just put a little money aside, and you don't really know why you're doing it, and it'll come up. Oh, that's why I'm doing it. or he'll tell you to call somebody or any kind of thing. There'll just be this, and by him telling you, I don't mean you wake up and you look in the mirror and, you know, there are lips there and they're moving and it's him talking. I mean, on the inside, you just keep getting this impression again and again, or knowing, or this thing just keeps coming to you. You ought to call, you ought to call, you ought to call, or you ought to do this. That's coming up from the inside. That's the Holy Spirit leading you. He leads us by bearing witness with our spirit. He's leading us, and we need to follow his leading, because if we will, we'll get the benefits of his leading. So I'm just telling y'all this. I don't know what else you've been thinking about today, but this is a big deal, and you should think about this every day, that today the Holy Spirit's talking, he's leading you, guiding you, and not only is he leading you and guiding you about the truth of the matters you're dealing with, but he's showing you things that are to come. And we'll just keep reading. It says, he will honor and glorify me because he will take of, he will receive and draw upon what is mine. And what is his? Everything is his. Everything has been placed under Jesus Christ. He will take of all that and he will reveal and declare and disclose and transmit it to you. I love that word transmit, because it helps me to see. He's sending me signals. He's sending me signals. He's sending me signals. He knows what channel I'm tuned to, and he's sending them to me. He's saying, Susie, here. Susie, listen to this. Susie, this is coming. Susie, do this. He's constantly sending me signals and transmitting things to me. And y'all, we need to hear what he's saying. And this isn't just something he does for one or two of us. All of us, as children of God, as people who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, as people who God himself dwells within by his Holy Spirit, he's talking to us. He's leading us and guiding us. Now, see, here's the issue oftentimes we face. I've certainly discovered this in pastoring, is that many people are only interested in hearing from God when they have a problem that they can't solve themselves. So when they get into a situation where it's like, oh, I don't know, this is way beyond me, then they want to go and hear from God. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the way it works. Now, he's very merciful and he'll help you all he can. But the way he designed things to work is that every day he would lead us and guide us. Every day we would walk with him. He would fellowship with us. We would have communion with him and speak to him and let him talk to us. We'd have our ear inclined to him all the time, so that every day we could walk with him. We might avoid a whole lot of those big messes we get into. You ever look back in your life, you ever been in a situation and it's just a lot of mess and you're thinking, why did I make that decision? Well, wait a minute, why did I make that one? Oh, well, why did I do that? Oh, my, well, then this. And you can like trace back this big thing, all these steps, and you're like, why? What was I thinking? Well, I can tell you this, you weren't thinking God's thoughts and you weren't doing what he was leading you to do. And if you'll just purpose that, Holy Spirit, I want you to reveal, I want you to declare and disclose and transmit to me. I think, Holy Spirit, according to the scripture, you're already doing that. Help me to hear you. Help me to know. Help me to discern your voice. Just that simple. Just, Holy Spirit, if you will help me, if you'll teach me, I'll walk with you. I'll listen. I'm not going to be perfect because I'm still learning here. But as I walk with you, you can teach me, hey, 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 here's my voice. And he knows a way. He knows Kyle's language. He knows how Kyle thinks. He knows what Kyle's got going on. He can talk to Kyle so Kyle can understand him. And that may be a little different than the way he talks to Vanessa. I mean, he probably talks to Vanessa in Spanish. But the way he talks to us and what he says to us, he can get it across to us. You understand? There are some things we see in the scripture, like I said, one way that the scripture tells us is peace. One way the scripture tells us is his spirit bears witness with our spirit. In other words, there's an affirmation on the inside. There's an unction. You have an unction or a knowing from the Holy Spirit, from the Holy One, and you know all things. There's this unction. There's this kind of an urgency that comes up within you. All these are his leading in our lives. Okay, so this is all part of his leading. So the first number one that I went over last week was this, that you need to know that it's God's will to lead you in your life. Let me look. Know that God will speak to you, and then you go ahead and determine that you're going to hear from him. And that, you know, it's two-sided, knowing he'll speak, but then you have to determine that you're going to hear him, you're going to listen to him, and you're going to go with what he says. And this, like so many things in our walk as believers, it's a discipline in our lives that we learn to do it. We learn to hear the voice. You know, I remember when my kids were little, Grayson tells me now, he says, Mom, I can't, because he sees Kristen with all her kids. And Grayson says, Mom, I can't imagine you with all these little kids. Was it really like that for you? And I said, oh, it was far worse, because I had you as one of my kids. So it was far worse, Grayson, than what Kristen's facing. But, you know, when he said, you know, how did you ever manage with all those kids and what was going on? And I remember it was really important to me early on in being a mom. I discovered that I had to train the kids to obey my voice, that they had to listen to me. If I told them stop, they couldn't wait for me to run over to them and make them stop. They had to obey my voice when I said stop, and they had to stop. It was really important, especially when there's four of them and one of you. They need to be able to obey what you're saying. Am I right, Vanessa? You gotta, when you run out of hands, you definitely gotta have some obedience. And you have to teach, you know, I had to teach them to respond to my voice. And there was nothing you could get in bigger trouble for at our house than not obeying whenever I said to you to, you know, stop or go or do, you know, tell, when I gave you an instruction, you better do it or there was going to be trouble. And I didn't care if you made up your bed. I know that might be a big deal at your house. I didn't care. But you better respond to whenever I speak to you. That better be happening, you know, because that's just so important in the scheme of things. And it's the same thing with us. We have to obey him. We have to be obedient to him. But we're often like, you know, the little two-year-old that's just going to have it anyway, do what they want to anyway, and not, you know, or we just are completely oblivious. You ever seen a kid that's the parents talking and the kid ain't listening one bit? Not one bit. That's often a picture of how we are with him. He's talking, but we're just, anyway, don't know why we got into that. That was a word for one of y'all. Write that down, Sebastian. You're going to need it one day. Okay. Then he went on to say in verse 15, everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Boy, that's good. And, you know, I had notes in my Bible in various places, and around these verses, I had this note that I'd written some time ago, and it says, the Holy Spirit will show you the way into all the truth in any matter under consideration. And so we were talking last week about whenever you need, you know, that there are things in your life that you need insight, you need wisdom about. Y'all remember this? Some of y'all were here. You need wisdom. You need insight about, well, you can depend on the Holy Spirit to show you the truth about whatever it is. I mean, we have a number of young people here. You have lives ahead of you. You need to know the truth about your life ahead. You need to know God's plan and his will. And he will show it to you. But you're going to have to listen. And he doesn't just show it to you in a moment of time and that's all you ever need and you just go on. It's a continual unveiling. It's a revealing that continues to go on for all of us. It's a continual revealing. And if you'll listen, he'll show you, he'll lead you, and he'll lead you in the way you should go. He'll lead you into the good life he has for you. He'll lead you into the life where you'll be blessed and you'll be a blessing. He'll lead you into that, but you got to go with him. And it starts with you, I'm going to listen. You saying and determining, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. So then number two I mentioned was find out what he said in his word on the subject, what his will is. Not going to spend any more time there. And then number three, you need to actually pray. And this is, can be a toughie for people. And it's interesting how often we talk about praying here compared to, you know, don't look around, don't look at anybody, but compared to how often people actually do pray. The reason we talk so much about praying is because we understand the value of praying. Because your answers will come through your prayer life. Because praying is you talking to God, and he's the one that has the knowledge that you need. He's the one that has the wisdom that you need. He's the one that has the counsel that you need. But you're only going to get it from him if you talk to him and let him talk to you. But just imagine if you had a friend who was the smartest mathematician on planet Earth, and they were your friend, and you were having problems with your math homework, and you were failing math, And you kept failing math, and you kept failing math, but you never went and talked to your friend who was the smartest person in math in the whole world. Well, that pretty much sums up most believers' lives right there. We have God Himself who made everything, who knows everything, sees the end from the beginning. He's living inside of us, but we don't talk to Him and find out what He's got to say. Or we may go and just tell Him all our problems, but we don't ever listen for the solutions. We don't ever stick around long enough for Him to teach us how to walk through the problem, how to overcome, how to make, you know, come out on the other side. We're just like complaining. And when I'm talking about praying, I'm not talking about complaining. You've already done enough of that. It's time now to pray. Okay? And I, last week, I'll just read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I read this verse last week. I'm going to read it tonight in the Amplified. It says, "For he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands." We're talking about your ability to pray in tongues. And it's the language, the languages that you're able to speak out that are, you don't understand in your natural thinking. They're, you know, other languages. "He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God." So the purpose of you speaking in tongues is not to speak to men. It's to speak to God. "For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things, not obvious to the understanding." So when I pray in tongues, I'm praying things that I don't understand, but I have assurance from the Word that I'm praying that God hears me, and that the words that I'm praying, the things that I'm praying about, are things that are hidden. They're hidden from me, but they're hidden wisdom. They're hidden understanding, and they're things that are not obvious to the understanding. They're things maybe I haven't seen yet. They're secret truths. There, one translation says divine secrets or divine mysteries. I think the Greek word either even is the word for mystery here. So we're speaking not things that we know or understand. We're speaking mysteries. What kind of mysteries? Well, I just read to you over in John chapter 14 where I read to you, or John chapter 13 where I read to you how the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all the truth. So that's part, some of what you're praying is a hidden truth, but you're also praying those things that He said, He was talking about when He said, "I'll show you things that are to come." So you're praying about the truth that is, that you don't know, but you're also praying about the things that are to come. So me and you have the ability by the Holy Spirit to pray about the future and to pray the will of God concerning the future about things we don't know. Now, that's pretty outstanding. I mean, I'm telling you, we have some really great gadgets, but we don't have any gadgets that can do that. There's nothing that man has that, you know, in all of man's great wisdom and in all the computing power of the universe, there's nothing that compares to the wisdom of God that we can pray just by praying in other tongues. It's so far beyond anything that the world offers. Any wisdom of man doesn't compare to what we have when we just simply pray in other tongues. Now, I know it seems really bizarre, because how can me praying what sounds like gibberish, how can that really be anything? But then there's so much smartness, you know, that the world offers. Seems like that would be a lot more important than this. But it's not. You know, the scripture says that God's chosen the what things of the world? The foolish things. And that's sometimes what praying in tongues seems like. It seems like foolishness. And to your mind, it does. He's chosen these foolish things to confound the wise. And He's talking about they're not the wise in Christ, but the wise in the world. And it's that idea that we think we know everything because we're so smart and advanced, but we really don't. Now, that's the third thing, is to actually pray. So, and particularly pray in the Spirit. And of course, pray what you know from the Word, but there's so much you don't know. All right, now, here the fourth one is to listen after you pray, or while you're praying, continually praying, to listen and to interpret back the things you're hearing. And Matt made mention of this Sunday before last. I talked about it last week, and I'll read the scripture here from a few verses down in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Therefore, the person who speaks in an unknown tongue should pray for the power to interpret and explain what he says. So when you're praying in the Spirit, go ahead and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to interpret back whatever you might need to say in your known language so that your own mind can receive understanding. See, your mind doesn't know what you're praying. But if you ask, and he says here, let him pray that he may interpret, it says it, and says here, let him pray for the power to interpret and to explain what he says. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit, helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will pray also, I'll pray intelligently or in my known language with my mind and understanding. So that's in the same thing with singing, he says it. So what happens is, as I pray in the Spirit, if I will continue to draw up from by the Holy Spirit, some of the things that come up will actually be words in my known language for me that's English, and things will come up, and I may speak out things in English. And again, it's a word or maybe a few words. It's not necessarily like, you know, 7 pages of notes. Not a whole story. It's just something, you know, some word from God that will bring clarity. It will bring truth. It will bring forth wisdom. It'll bring direction. It'll bring guidance. It'll bring counsel. All those things will come flowing up from within us. Now, you can hear me teach on this every Wednesday night for the next 9 years. But unless you ever do this, you're not going to know much about it. But the really good thing is, if you start doing it, you'll know a whole lot about it because the teacher will be there with you and he'll teach it to you. So I can teach you on a Wednesday night. I'm really just trying to coax you into doing it. And once I teach you, I can give you some pointers here and there, but I tell you, the one who knows just how to do this and how for you to flow with it, he's with you wherever you are doing it, and he'll lead you and guide you into it. It's awesome. And that's how you learn. So you learn to do that. It's just great. So that was one of our points, and so I'm going to encourage you to do that. In the times of prayer that we've had here, we had like 28, 30, some long days of prayer earlier. When was that? May? Yeah, May into June. Yeah, before Pentecost, right? We did that. We did it at the beginning of the year. So we would come in here, and that was a good bit of what we did. We would pray. We'd spend time. We'd do all kind of things. But one of the main things we did was just pray with the Spirit, pray with understanding. Many nights at the end of, you know, the last 10 minutes or so, we'd come up front here, those of us who were here, and we'd go around and we'd say, now, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? What did you get? What did you see? What happened? It was amazing. Every time we did that, it was amazing the things that God was showing people. Y'all remember that? It was amazing. I mean, every time we did that, it was like, what? Only, you know, you're like, wow, my goodness, just the revelation, just with 15 people praying for, you know, 45 minutes, what God would show us. It was great. So that should be part of your life. And then number 5 is, not only while you're praying, but even after you're praying, continue to listen on the inside. Listen on the inside for leadings and look for his peace. And I read the scripture. I'll read it tonight in the Amplified. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Counsel, and that word counsel means plans or the wisdom. Plans in the heart of man is like water in a deep well. So the plans are in there, the answers you need, the plans. Any of y'all sometimes, you know, like we had Financial Peace University earlier this year. And, you know, finding out Dave Ramsey, and he's got a really great program, and he gives you, you know, advice about what to do. And some of it's biblical advice, and some of it's, you know, just good common sense, people would say. And some of it's like worldly advice even, ideas of how banking works and how credit works and things like that. So there's a lot of different kinds of information. But here's the deal. You need to know exactly what you should do. Well, that's wisdom from on high that you need. So you can learn the principles and take all those things, but you got to know for you what you should do, and you need to know that from God. So when you're listening to that and you're taking it all in, at the same time, you're listening on the inside to see what the Holy Spirit's saying. So you're taking this in, but you're also taking this in. This is how it works. So you're getting this, but you need to know the truth and the truth for you. You need that leading that's going to come up from within. And when you learn to do that and to tap into that, I mean, it will help you tremendously, whatever you got going in your life. It says, a man of understanding will draw it out. And that in the Hebrew literally means that you put the bucket down and you bring it up. You put the bucket down and you bring it up. So that's what's going on inside. And then I found this, and I really like this. This is in Proverbs 18, a couple chapters earlier, verse 4. It says, the words of a discreet and wise man's mouth are like deep waters, plenteous and difficult to fathom. And the fountain of skillful and godly wisdom is like a gushing stream, sparkling, fresh, pure, and life-giving. And I like that because wisdom will flow from within you like this just gushing, what does it say? A gushing stream. This life-giving stream will flow from within you and bring forth wisdom. It's talking about coming from that well becoming a gushing stream flowing out of you. And if I believe that we can walk in that, where we can get where it's not so much work to put the bucket down and pull it up, we can figure out a way to get a gushing stream coming up out of that never drying, never ending well of wisdom within us. And that's what I want to see. So just for a moment, just close your eyes for a second and just consider the fact that according to the scripture, that down inside of you, in your spirit man, in your innermost being, there is a vast reservoir of wisdom because the Holy Spirit's in you, and counsel and advice, it's down inside of you. The answers to whatever questions you have, the solutions to the problems you're facing, you know, the know-how for whatever it is that you need know-how. Also, not just that, but the future, what's going to happen, what you'll be facing, what you need to be prepared for, where things are going to take you. All of that is down inside of you. And I want you to look inside. That's down inside of you. Now, your job is to pull it up, to dip your bucket down and pull it up and get not just one bucket full every, you know, 7 months, but to start working that till it becomes a gushing stream. Get it flowing in your life until it just begins to bubble up and flood out. Bubble up and flood out so that you are always tapped into His wisdom. And start just see that now, that flowing up and out, flowing up into your mind, flowing up into your mouth. It's just flowing up and out. So when you speak words of wisdom, and you start talking about godly counsel, and you start giving yourself good advice coming from the inside. You see that? That's the way He wants you to live. Some of you fell asleep. Wake up. Wake up. You're feeling so good about it, you fell asleep. Praise God. Now, last week I shared some stories. I'm going to share a couple more tonight. One of them was this, that I, because I told you, I'm telling you, just many stories. One of them was this. A couple years ago, I remember very plainly, Matt and Nate and I were having a meeting. And we were meeting about some different things about the church and the vision and some plans we were making and things like that. And I remember we were sitting in the atrium, sitting at one of those tables. And I remember I looked at the two of them and I said, y'all, I don't really know what or how, I don't know much about it, but I know this. I know that I need to do something more to equip people for ministry. And I said, I know we have School for Life, and I know we have services, and we have all that. I know I don't think it has to do with leadership. It's specific to ministry and helping people to develop where they can teach and helping people to get grounded and things. And I'm just kind of going through this, and they're looking at me. And honestly, I was struggling with this thing on the inside, and I was looking to them for them to tell me what I needed to do. And I got from them that look I've gotten so many times. Just a big blank expression, like, we don't know. We don't even know what you're talking about. They're just looking at me. And I'm honestly going to tell you, I was pretty frustrated with both of them. I'm like, look, y'all, I'm telling you what's going on on the inside. Don't you have any help for me? And they had no help for me. None. They didn't even offer to pray for me. They were mainly wanting me to shut up so we could end the meeting. That's how most of the meetings go around here, you know? Well, anyway, Nate is always... He doesn't have a gavel, but if he had a gavel, he'd be trying to slam the gavel down, you know. Because isn't that what the judge does at the end? He slams the gavel. Well, Nate's looking to slam the gavel down because he's ready for it to be over. If you've ever had a meeting with Nate, you know, it might need 10 words, but he's only going to give 3 of them. Slam down the gavel and we're done. It's just how he is. He always tells me he's a condenser, and I want to get the gavel and hit him in the head. But anyway, He's coming back tomorrow from Nicaragua. All right. So we had that going on. And so it was, I remember that so plainly. And so I just began to pray, you know, because I had this thing come up. And so I just was just praying. I would just pray about it. I don't know what it is. And so I would just pray simply like, you know, I'm not really sure, you know, what I need to do. And I just pray in the spirit about it. I just pray and pray along and just pray along. And it really, nothing ever really became clear. I didn't really know. But I just knew there was something I was praying about, something in here that I needed to do, but I didn't know what. And there was 1,000 things I could have done, but that wasn't what I wanted. I wanted him to show me what I was supposed to do. And so this was going on. Well, it was about 4 months later, Matt had gone to Alabama and met with some people. And while he was there, they were showing him their Bible school and showing them what they did. And they had a classroom. And I don't know what it was. It was basically this. They told him they met on Tuesday nights for 5 months, only Tuesday nights for 5 months. And something about that clicked. And he told me that. He got home Saturday. We got home maybe Friday night. Saturday morning, he's telling me about this. And then Saturday afternoon, Matt's in his study, and he's getting ready for Sunday service. And I'm in the kitchen washing dishes. Because if you come to our house, most of the time, you'll find me in the kitchen washing dishes. Or I don't know what it is. I spend many hours in there. I'm not sure what I'm doing. But anyway, that was what I was doing that day. And so I'm in there doing these things. And somehow or another, in that afternoon, just while I'm washing the dishes, loading the dishwasher, putting clothes in the washer, all those things that we all do, some of us do, all those things, in the middle of all that, by the time that afternoon was over, I had this whole plan that had just come from within me. And it had came up in me. Yeah, I'm supposed to do it. And I had a name for it, and I had when we were going to meet, and I had the dates, and how many sessions we were going to do, how long it was going to last, what the principles were, we were going to teach, how we were going to do it. And it was just all there. It was just like all happened, boom, out just in a couple hours, one afternoon. And so then the next time I met with them, it wasn't, y'all, I have something on the inside, can you help me? It was like, okay, big boys, here's what we're doing. Because the Lord had shown me then what to do. Now, so many things have been like that in my life. I just get some little kind of a thread of something, some little inkling of something. I don't know. I try to figure it out. Lord knows I try to figure it out. Lord knows I go on the internet and try to see what's everybody else doing. So maybe I can just do that, but that's never the answer. The answer's got to come from within. Now, I will bring this to you. There are times where you have, you know, like there was a long months between me really having that interest, that unction on the inside to do something, and me knowing what to do. There was a period of time. During that period of time, sometimes we just jump off and do things. We also, during that period of time, sometimes think, well, it ain't ever going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, like Courtney was talking about, and we just kind of throw it away. We let go of, that's kind of one way we can let go of the harvest. The Lord's given us a word about something, an unction, and instead of seeing it through, sticking with it, we just give up on it. These are all things I've done. I know they're things you've done. So these are not what you should do. What you should do is hold it in your heart. Now, what was it that the Bible said that Mary did? Mary, the mother of Jesus, that she kept these things that were told to her by the angel, and it says she pondered them in her heart. It's like she just kind of let them roll around on the inside of her, and from that, God brought revelation to her. Now, he didn't bring it to her in the same way he brings it to us, because Holy Spirit didn't live inside of her until he lived in her womb. But before that, he didn't live inside of her. And so, but we keep these things and we ponder them in our hearts. Now, this is, part of this is meditation. Part of this is, prayer, because you just actively, you know, just kind of talk to God about it. You find scriptures about it, maybe. You find pieces that fit together with it. All this is kind of part of how it works. But just jumping out and doing something isn't the answer. And our good friend Jim Newton from Australia, he has this phrase, and he uses it on us a lot. And we'll be talking about something that we're seeing. We're getting some insight about something. A new nation has recently opened, and we have some real opportunities with this new nation. We're talking about what we're going to do. And we'll talk about all these things, and we'll stop. And Jim will go, well, let's just hasten slowly. He says that to us, doesn't he, Matt? He'll go, okay, well, I think what we need to do here is hasten slowly. So it means, you know, be fast when God speaks to you, but until God gives us the go-ahead, we'll just kind of tread lightly and just kind of do what we know to do, but we won't get too fast. And then when God says we'll be ready, we'll just jump in when he says, but we'll be ready. And that time in there, that period of time, that just like between seed time and harvest, that time part can be really frustrating. Lord knows that can be frustrating. It can just seem like forever. Am I right, Terry? But then when it happens quick. And that's what's amazing is so many times when things actually happen, we're like, why weren't we better prepared? Right? If only we had known. Well, you did know because you saw it by the eye of your faith. You did know it because the Lord had been speaking to you about it. But when it comes, it'll come quick. But that time part can just be forever. And you can get really frustrated. You can get angry. You can do all those things people talk about, going through the dry spell, being in the wilderness. I'm going to tell you, none of that's really true. Those are all just words people use when they're saying they need to stir themselves up. You don't have to have dry spells and wilderness experiences. But you can get yourself in one if you don't understand what's going on. And you're just in that time where you're between the initial unction or the initial leading or you having the vision for it and then it coming to pass. That wait for it that Habakkuk talks about. You're in that time. And during that time, you know what you should be doing? Does anybody know what you should do during that time? What'd you say? Thanking God. That's a good thing. Rejoicing. Anybody know what else you should be doing? Huh? Praying. You should be praying. There you go. These are just really good things to remember. Praise the Lord. And the last one I'm going to share is just one that just happened Friday morning. Now, Harry's back from India, and Harry should be very grateful that he's back because there was a lot of hassle these last 5 days. He knows the stories. But one of them started on Friday in the middle of the night when my phone is buzzing. Now, we don't have a house phone. Well, we do have one, but we don't answer it. That's a long story. So never call our house phone because it never, ever gets answered nor checked. I don't even know why we have one. But anyway, we do have cell phones, and I keep my cell phone by the bedside but with the ringer turned off. But if it buzzes enough, it'll wake me up. Well, I woke up to a buzzing phone, and it was Harry calling me from India. And he was pretty panicked because they missed their flight out of Cuttack. And just like when Matt missed his flight coming out of Lagos, there's mass panic when people miss their flights coming out of these nations. And he's missed his flight because, and you know, my first reaction is anger. What do you mean you missed your flight? How could you possibly miss your flight? But it had to do with a taxi that was supposed to be there that never showed up because they actually, instead of coming to pick them up, had decided to put the taxi in the garage, but never told them, like, to get repaired, but never told them. And through a series of events and, you know, reloading the one that did come like 3 times and stopping to get gas and take a smoke and all the things that you deal with in these situations, they got there 5 minutes after the flight left. And so there they are. And what are they going to do? And so they call me. And he'd already talked to the airlines, and the airlines, they don't help you. Now, in the U.S., they have a concept of customer service, but they don't have that in some places. Like, Matt encountered no customer service in Nigeria, and Harry found none in India. And so there's no customer service, and there he's just stuck, and they're telling him, you know, and so he's got all these tickets for the three of them that are flying him and Coleman and Juti, and there's no help. So anyway, I got to figure out now. He's on his way. He's leaving Cuttack, and he's going to South India, and they are going there to speak for a very large church and meet with a head of a Bible school and the pastor of that church, and that's this whole big thing he's got arranged at the end of his trip. He's got to make this connection, and he's got to be there. And if he takes the same flight the next day, he won't get there in time for the service. There's all these problems and everything. So it was just a hassle. It's the middle of the night. And you ever get woke up in the middle of the night when you really didn't go to bed very early? You stayed up late anyway, and you're kind of just like you don't know where you are, and you're delirious, and people are talking to you, and they're saying things that you hope is just a nightmare and not reality. And then, okay, that's where I was. So I got all that going on. Well, 5 hours later, trying to deal with this thing, finally got some tickets, got them on a flight to go, and they're going to have to take 2, you know, it's just all kind of stuff. I'm trying to get a refund because I had to buy new tickets. I'm trying to get a refund on a portion of the ticket. And as I talk to the people, of course, I can't talk to the airlines because the airlines, the only way you can talk to them is to call them from India within India. There's no way to get to them from the outside of India. So I'm talking to the middle agency in New Zealand that actually purchased the ticket. So I'm talking to them, and they tell me, oh, well, the return flight that they needed to get back Harry to Mumbai, Juti to Cuttack, that part of the ticket, when they didn't show up and they missed the flight, all that is canceled. So you're going to have to buy not only just the tickets you bought to get them to where they were going, but now you've got to buy this whole new set of tickets. And that's going to be at least $600. And I can't ask Harry because Harry's in the air on the way to Hyderabad, so I can't ask him what to think. And I'm just like, I'm at the end of it now, you know. I've been dealing with this for 5 hours. I'd only been asleep a couple hours when the phone rang. I'm mad. I've had enough. You know, I'm ready to just choke somebody. So Matt had gone. It's like, I'm just leaving you with that, and I'll see you. And so I'm really looking for somebody to choke. I look at the dogs. Anyway, so they tell me, you need to buy these tickets, and you need to do it now, because if you wait, they're going to be like $2,000. And I'm just mad. And I'm just really frustrated. So I just go in my bed and do what I've done dozens of times. I recommend this. If you've never done this, this is a really good thing to do. I just put my arms like this, and we have a king-size bed. You might need to get a king-size bed if you're going to do that. Just put my arms like this, and I just fall on my bed, face first, and I just put my face down into the mattress, you know, because if I hold it there long enough, maybe I can't breathe. Who knows? It's just what I was doing. I was that frustrated. I've just got my face buried in there, and I'm just like that. And then in a moment, Gandelebo. Nah, I ain't gonna pray in tongues. Oh, Bakashe, oh, man. And it's all. So I do that for a few minutes. I feel a little better, so I turn my head to the side so I can actually, you know, get some air and speak them out. And I'm just in there for a few minutes, and I'm just praying, and I'm saying, God, you know, this was your idea. I never, ever wanted to have anything to do with going anywhere like India. This was your deal. I just want to make sure he knows. I'm blaming him for the whole thing. But I'm kind of getting a better attitude. I'm just saying, we just need some help here. I'm not quite sure what to do. You know, you know this. You can deal with it. I need some help. What should I do? And I kept remembering how these, because I had two different phone calls with this agency telling me I had to get these new tickets, that there were no other tickets, you know, blah, blah. And I got that ringing in my head, but I just didn't feel like I should be buying these tickets. And so about that time, it's my phone. I get a text, and I pick it up, and it was Matt. Matt was texting me, and Matt said, this morning when you woke me up, because, you know, I woke him up at some point in this whole endeavor. Just for a moment, that's all he could give me. When he woke me up, he said, I just heard on the inside, while you were telling me what was going on, I just heard on the inside, it's going to be fine. Just look to him and don't worry about it. I can't remember exactly. I could get it out and read it to you, but I can't remember now. And whatever it was he said, when I read it, I knew, don't buy the tickets. Just don't worry about it. Don't give it another thought. Don't talk to them anymore. Don't worry about deadline, whatever. Just don't worry about it. It's all going to work out. Don't even try to do anything anymore. Oh, this is what he said. When you told me this morning about the plane situation, I heard this on the inside. It will all work out. Be encouraged. Follow the leader. And when he said that to me, I just knew I just need to leave it alone. So I didn't buy the tickets. I didn't talk to the airlines. I didn't talk to the ticket agent. I didn't talk to Harry and them anymore. But, you know, it was just like that was done. So, boop. And I'm still not sure how they're going to get home or whatever like that. But when they got to the airport on Monday, at the airport, they had their original tickets. They were confirmed, and they were waiting there for them. Thank God. Thank God. But I could have spent a whole bunch of money buying tickets when I didn't really need to, because the people that were telling me I needed to, that it was not all. You understand? Thank God. See, there's just things like that. I mean, y'all, you have this all the time. This is life on planet Earth, y'all. But the Holy Spirit knows what to do. He knows how to work through it. But we're so often just moving, got to do this, got to do that, got to take care of it, got to handle it, or whatever it is, and we don't just take the time that we need to take, even when we're angry, frustrated, blaming God, and, you know, blaming Harry. When you're just doing the whole thing, it doesn't matter. You got to just get, like my mom always said, you got to get a hold of yourself. You got to put your face in the mattress, and you got to pray until you got some peace. And it may come through a text from somebody. It may come from the inside, but God will get it. Maybe a song pops in. Whatever it is, God will get you what you need, and you'll know what to do, and you'll have confidence in it. And sometimes it won't make a lot of sense to your head, because your head will say, but those women told you, you better buy the ticket. And then you go, but you know what? The inside of me says, don't buy the ticket. I'm going to just follow the leader. Matt told me to follow the leader, and that's what I'm doing. You see what I'm saying? So that's what we have to do. That's the answer to your problems right there. Whatever your problems are, whatever you're dealing with, praise God, y'all stand. Next week, we won't have midweek booths, so we'll be out early next week, and it'll make up for tonight. Father, we thank you so much tonight for the word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. Just tell him right there where you are and just say, I want you to lead me. I want you to talk to me. I want you to help me. I need you to teach me about this. I need to get better at it. I got to sharpen my skills in this. I want to be led. I want to have answers and counsel from you. I want the solutions that come from godly wisdom. I want that bucket coming up from within me, bringing up the counsel, bringing up the plans. I want it just coming up within me, bursting forth like a stream. That's what I want. That's what I need. I ask you to help me. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. You're the one appointed by God to teach me, to lead me, to guide me. And I ask you to lead me and guide me. Show me the truth. Hallelujah. Lead me and guide me. Show me things that are to come. I receive your transmissions. I receive what you're telling me. I'm tuning in. I'm inclining my ear to you tonight. Teach me and train me in this. I need this discipline in my life. I need these skills. The people around me need me to have these skills. There's so many people around me and in my world and in my family and in my life. They are counting on me to hear from God. They desperately need me to hear from God. My kids need me to hear from God. Oh, my church family needs me to hear from God. The people at my work need me to hear from God. And I ask you, Father, help me with this. Help me. It's your plan. It's your idea. It's what you put into place. And so you wouldn't have put it into place if I couldn't flow with it, if I couldn't work with it, if it wasn't something that I could tap into. It wouldn't be in place if it wasn't something that every one of us could access. So I ask you, help me to access it. Help me to hear. Help me to know. Hallelujah. Teach me about this. I'm determining to hear from you. Hallelujah. 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 I'm determining to hear. I need to hear. I'm determining to hear. Hallelujah. We thank you for helping us tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.